And welcome to part two of our Best of Worst of 2016. If you haven't caught part one yet, please stop now and check out our Best of list in part one. Now on to part two, where we talk about the stinkers of this past year. If you can let yourself go in, who knew Thor had a funny bone in him and ended up being just pee your pants hilarious?
Well, you didn't love him in Vacation?
Which is a good segue to worst of 2015. Let's start again with 2016, Andrew.
Mark,
2016.
Really, I sent him back in time.
Flashbacks now.
He's so triggered. He's beyond.
I am beyond triggered now.
You have to give it a moment, man.
2016, great segue here for worst of 2016. We'll go back to Andrew again. Andrew, I know you don't quite care for it, but out of 2016, what were a few of the films that you just felt just missed the mark completely?
Oh, well, I do want to mention, nobody said this, Doctor Strange doesn't have any guns in it. That's what I thought was badass.
Oh, yeah. No guns. Right. It doesn't.
I couldn't believe it. Instead of giving the worst ones, man, because I don't really, it's not. I'm gonna bend the rules a little bit. I got three awards that I'm gonna give out.
Okay, all right, sure. Yeah, go ahead. You can do that.
And I got a little bit of turd on each one, just sure. A little bit, so that'll satisfy your worst talk or whatever. So we'll do that. Okay, I got three awards. First award is the fun but forgettable, except for one holy shit amazing scene award. And that one goes to X-Men Apocalypse. Because I don't remember anything that happened in it except for the Quicksilver's rescue 3D. That was insane when he goes through the house, grabbing everybody up out of there. Did anybody see this? Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They built like a roller coaster through this house and put the camera on it. And it's bonkers, man. That was so good. So that gets that award, which was made just for that movie. I got three. The please don't hire a director to make the sequel to a movie until they do more than see the goddamn trailer award goes to Bad Santa Part 2.
I heard your episode about it.
Dude, you just watch it and go, motherfucker, did you watch this movie before you made Part 2? Did you watch, maybe? Okay, and the last one is the movie that would have easily made my top 10 of the year list if it didn't ruin the final shot with bullshit CGI award goes to Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Because I'm like, I know, Disney, that you own Star Wars now, but you do not need to shove Tinkerbell in the final shot of your film. Just please. Yes. I mean, I was like, I can't even imagine how mad I would be at it right now. This was like, you know, weeks ago, you know? But I was like, I love you. This is... So that's that. That's all I got.
And
if you want honorable mention of stuff I really didn't like, Ice Age Collision Core. That's the worst movie of the whole entire.
I knew we could get it out of you.
I knew we'd get one out of you.
Nah, if a 3-year-old who like shit that makes the 3-year-old laugh is just all you got to do is fall down. That's all you got to do. She didn't give any type of shit about that. Any even piece of particle of shit about this movie that we were watching. Nin. I mean, we were watching, like, we were looking at the lights on the floor. You know, we were just playing with our fingernail. You know what I'm saying? Ooh, man. And again, you know, if anything would have fallen, like, any time, she would laugh, and she didn't laugh at that. So... Take them acorns and shove them up your ass, Ice Age. There you go.
There we go.
They're not going to make no more of those. No, you watch. No more. That's it.
They'll be direct to video if they do. You know, Land Before Time, number 26. You know.
And a lot of them are going to be Scrat movies.
It's probably.
It's just going to be a half an hour Scrat movie, and they're going to charge like $20 for it anyway.
I'm going to agree with you on Bad Santa 2, that movie. Oh, dear Lord.
So depressing to hear. I almost went and saw it.
They shouldn't have done it, man. It shouldn't. Like, I was excited because I liked part one. And I'm like, well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, okay, cool. But don't. that, and you know me, man, I would not say anything unless it really,
yeah,
like, don't.
My friends love the original. I mean, they absolutely love it. It's like their favorite Christmas movie of all time. They just love the original, and so they were really waiting for this movie, and I went to go see it with them. Personally, I didn't think it was that bad. None of us did. None of us thought, like, we all kind of thought, and this is both me, who liked the original, didn't love it, and them, who just adored it. They all said, it was okay, but they didn't, it didn't really feel like they needed to make it after all was said and done. You know?
Nor did they really accomplish anything in the film to justify having made it really in the first place.
It was all like a thing of like, let's see if we can get the same audience back like 10 years later. Yeah. And, you know,
Kathy Bates needed to buy another car, I guess.
There wasn't anything there. So
say you order you like your favorite place to get your favorite cheeseburger, and you eat it, and you're like, "Damn, that was good, man. I'm gonna get another one." And then you open it up, and it just smells like the old cheeseburger, but you paid the same amount for it.
Yeah,
that's what in some circles people refer to as bullshit.
Yeah, a Dorito fart. I watched it. I didn't come.
It's a deep cut right there.
In my like 7-point scale, I just basically said it. Yeah, barely recommended. Basically, I saw it. I didn't hate it. I'm never gonna watch it again.
Yeah, I.
Which is actually in a lot of ways a greater insult than saying I hated it.
Yeah,
it is, actually. As far as I'm concerned.
Paul, did you see Bad Santa 2 at all?
I have not.
Oh, good. You don't have to.
Exactly.
I think that would be a controversial pick.
Yeah. No, when I watched Bad Santa 2, I did enjoy the original, and there were glimpses in the sequel to where I was like, oh, yeah, all right, we're going here. Where'd it go? Oh, there it went. Bye-bye. There went the moment. And then they just throw in, you know, Hendrix and you know, Billy Bob Thornton doing it in an alley, and Christina Hendricks looked bored. I mean, she just looked like she was going through the motions, going, what movie did I sign up for again? What the hell? Interesting pick, Sandra. I do like your awards set up there. So that was an interesting way to approach it. Thank you on that.
Yes, they're handed out on the 5th of Neverwary.
All right, 5th of Neverwary. That's when my wife said that. Go on.
Mark's on the couch.
We'll move on here. Let's go with Paul's here. Paul, what were you? Would you say the three films that just didn't do it for you at all, that you considered kind of the not so great picks of the crop?
I really, really tried to find three, but I'm just gonna say it. I don't go to movies I don't want to watch.
Well, aren't we just Mr. Pinky in the Air?
But I did find two movies that did not meet my expectations, and hence are considered the worst films of the year for me. I also picked X-Men Apocalypse because I had huge expectations for the film, because I loved the X-Men growing up, watching the cartoon show, reading the comics, and I did do the Age of Apocalypse comic books, and I was wholeheartedly expecting a lot more than what was delivered, so that movie really faltered for me. And I agree with Andrew, that one scene was probably the one scene that was really worth watching, and then everything else was just nah. Like
what else happened? Name one thing.
The final battle scene was kind of interesting, but not what I expected. Yeah, see, there you go. Kind of like with Zoolander 2 when I was on a plane. I didn't watch the film because I fell asleep. You did get to see the characters of Xavier and Magneto kind of getting back together and not getting back together, and them repeating lines from the earlier movies to try to tie things in. That's kind of interesting, but again,
count as being in a movie, though.
Yeah, so, you know.
I'm just waiting for Scotty to tell you you're wrong.
I'm letting everybody air their grievances. And if you remember when we reviewed when I was on the show, One of the things I'm hoping I said, I'm pretty sure I did. I said back then, I said, look, I can really see myself revisiting this movie and not thinking as well of it as I did the first time I saw it. And that still stands. I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of like, the more I think about it, like, okay, I guess there was a little more to that was like iffy. I haven't watched it again, so I can't really say. Maybe there isn't. Maybe there is. And then, but you know, I'm kind of like letting. No, I'm letting all those opinions stay. That's fine. Don't worry. But you know,
all I gotta say about this is this: Weapon X scene. Boom. It's all I cared about. I don't care about anything else. Weapon X happened. I was happy. I left the theater.
Oh, I remember that. But okay. I remember. Well, I bought it anyway, so I'll just go to Scene Select and watch that in the Quicksilver.
There you go.
There you go.
I still need to watch my Blu-ray again. I got it on Black Friday. But I'll say this, so you know, and nothing else, Jennifer Lawrence is in it. So.
Oh, there you go.
I thought that was... That was my favorite part.
Well, yeah. Speaking of Jennifer Lawrence, have you seen Passengers yet, Scott?
I have not. Please, no spoilers.
I'm not going to give you spoilers, but
wrong room for that, buddy.
You do see a lot of Jennifer Lawrence. So
I'm going tomorrow.
You know who was good in X-Men Apocalypse? I should mention this though. The bad guy from Power Rangers. I thought he was. He was holding it in the road, man. That's a hard thing to pull off in that costume.
But that was one of the things when I first watched the movie, I thought, wow, they got this character totally wrong. And then I looked it up and I was like, damn, I was totally wrong because I had gotten the character correct. I didn't notice any of these powers because they were just not powers that, you know, were often used in the comic books that I was reading. They just happened to be powers that he did have, and he used them like once or twice. But in the movie, they decided that, hey, this is a really cool power. Let's use it.
That was the only powers that Fox could get the rights for. So
there you go.
Remember when they made the Sentinels look like an EMAC?
That's good. EMAC. That was good.
I think I know where this is going, but we're going to ask him anyway. Derek, what would you say three of your worst films that you saw in 2016 were?
Well, if you had listened to my podcast at all this year, you pretty much know everything I'm about to say. But I'm going to throw in a curveball because I think it's not fair of me to just exclude the fact that there was... I usually don't like dogging on indie films at all because they have a lot running against them. And so I mostly only, when I think of the worst movies, I'm thinking about the movies that had all of the opportunities in the world. They had the budget, they had everything, and they still just did not get it right. Like, I'm with Paul. I don't go to movies I don't think I'm going to like. Mm-hmm. Why would I spend the money? Why would I spend the time? There's no point. So these are movies I went to and I just didn't like at all. I think probably hands down the worst movie of the year for me was Lights Out. I couldn't have gave less of a fuck after 20 minutes than I did with that movie. If you want to see a horror movie that completely ruins itself within 20 minutes, check out Lights Out. That'll be spot on exactly what you want to watch. The second one that I'm going to list, I literally just saw the other night, Assassin's Creed. The biggest jumbled nothing of a movie. There's only one movie that I walked out of this year, and that was BFG. And that wasn't because it was bad. It was because my kids were not into it. But Assassin's Creed, literally a half hour into it, I was like, holy fuck, I want to walk out of this place right now. This movie sucks so bad. And the funny thing is about it is 45 minutes into the film, it finally starts making sense. Like, it doesn't make sense for 45 minutes. I mean, we're talking about the director had made the Snowtown Murders, which I think is an amazing movie.
That's that he made that?
Yes. And this must have been his big, like, this was his payday. this was, here you go. It's an Australian director. Here you go. Welcome to Hollywood. And they give him, I was looking forward to seeing it. I've played the games and I think the trailers looked really dynamic. And the movie is beautiful. The editing is wonderful. The story is a fucking mess that makes no sense. And the script is just awful. Awful. And the last movie, I was going to say Blair Witch, but
yeah.
I'm going to bring in an indie film because it's just like, it disappointed me so much. I'm a big fan of Scott Shermer's Found. I've talked about it a lot on my podcast, and I think it's just one of those movies that when I first saw it, I knew nothing about it, and it just punched me across the face. But his newest movie, Plank Face.
That was a Glenn Bittner sound right there.
That was a great Glenn Bittner sigh right there.
Well, how do you... I don't want to go on a soapbox, but I'm just going to say this. 2016 was the year the underground lost me. I just think underground horror in general has completely lost me, where maybe I am growing out of it, or maybe they are just stagnating in trying to be as edgy as they can with no point put into the movies whatsoever. But I thought Plank Face was literally one of the most pointless things I had ever seen from a director that I know can do better. It felt edgy for the sake of being edgy, as opposed to serving a purpose in saying something about what it's showing. I couldn't have hated it more.
Wow. Is this what you were talking about when you had mentioned chair movies online the other day?
Nope, that is not a chair movie.
Okay.
You were referring, that was Artraz, which was a Mexican movie.
Chair horror.
I should stop bringing up movies that that were done by people that I'm Facebook friends with.
well, this is the thing is, you know, that's why I don't like dogging on these movies, because I've run into all these people.
Eventually, you're gonna have to say hi to them. Yeah.
Well, no. And the thing is, though, if you are a filmmaker, you gotta expect not everybody's gonna like your stuff, and it's okay. You take that criticism and learn from it, or cast it aside. That's fine. And this wasn't anything to say about that the people weren't trying to make. So I just personally thought it was pointless.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it. And Brian Williams' cinematography is beautiful. I think he's doing some really good work. I just think the need to crank out a movie every single year is sacrificing something.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys can do so much better than this stuff. I don't know if I know, Mark, you've seen it. I need to put an indie film in there because otherwise it's easy to pick. The Blair Witch would have easily been that. Yeah. But I thought Plank
that
Face
movie
was,
sucked.
It sucked hard.
I did dig Plank Face, but I do see your point on that. So but yeah.
Well, do you want to watch it? I guess I gotta put it out there. It's a movie about a dude that essentially gets raped into being a Neanderthal by a family of feral sisters.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's barely any talking, and that's all it is. Would we be okay with it if it was guys raping a girl into liking it and being part of their family? No. What is the point of this movie? Mm-hmm. I didn't understand what it was at all. I mean, whatever. I just thought it was stupid. I just thought it was so stupid.
I love horror. It's my favorite genre, but a lot of the recent films have left me cold I have no problem with downbeat things, but it was a term I saw in print a few years ago when they were writing about that movie Seed that came out ages ago.
Oh, yeah, the Uwe Boll movie?
The Uwe Boll film, yeah. And they just called it cheap nihilism. And that's like, yes, that's what it is. It's cheap nihilism. It's like this no hope, dark, extreme, but for no other reason than to be no hope, dark, extreme. Mm-hmm. It doesn't accomplish anything. And so you're not even watching any progression of suspense or anything like that. You're just watching them get just – it just beats the viewer again and again and again. And the films don't even – a lot of the horror films I've seen recently, they don't even seem to end. They just stop.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a big problem with that.
Oh, dude, I mean, there is something to be said about movies that leave you with a feeling and that make you react and make you have guttural knee-jerk reactions. There is something there. Right. But the fact of the matter is, and I know Mark watches a lot of stuff, but I watch a lot of underground indie horror. And honestly, I couldn't... It lost me this year because that's all it is. That is literally all it is. People don't care about telling stories anymore, don't care about subtext. All they care about is being edgy McEdgerson. That's all they care about.
Well, we have people out, without throwing names out there, cause, so it won't like put too much of a spotlight. We have people in this group, Derek, that have made very edgy, extreme horror films. And I think that in those films it had a purpose, you know, it had a reason for being that way, and it worked, you know. And I don't think it was done just to get that, you know, just so people would say, "Ooh, did you see that scene?" You know, it would be, it had a greater purpose than that.
So definitely some interesting picks, Derek. And
I'm sorry, I do tend to go on.
It's okay. You know, again, film is subjective, which is why when we do film shows like this, or if I do a top 10 or something, it's always tough because you know there's going to be some. You know, there's going to be disagreement because everyone sees something differently. But you make some valid points, and with Plank Face, definitely, and your other picks, I can definitely agree with.
I kind of not want to see it just to get my own opinion on it because
see now that makes you want to see it.
I do. It's interesting.
Before we move to Scotty's, I know it's getting a little long. I realized we did end up missing one of Paul's good picks, so we're just going to bounce back. Quick and
well, good bad picks. It was one of my bad picks.
Oh, one of your bad picks. I'm sorry.
It's Independence Day Resurrection. That was another one that I had high expectations for. Did not deliver. It was still a fun film to watch, but I was expecting a lot more of the first film. I really did want the nostalgic kick. It's probably the worst thing for someone like that likes movies to say, hey, I want you to make the same movie again. But that's how I felt going into this movie. And when I came out of the movie, I didn't have the like factor of Independence Day Resurrection. So,
and we did an episode on that one as well. and I enjoyed
probably liked it at that time, though.
I enjoyed Insurrection, but I had absolutely no expectations whatsoever because I never expected them to ever do another Independence Day movie. So I just went in going, okay, what do you got for me? I dug it. So, you know.
See, and I've hated every movie Roland Emmerich has made since Independence Day. Independence Day. I've hated every movie he's made since then. So when they announced this one, I was not thrilled about it. I went to see it because, you know, I have MoviePass, so I'm paying for it anyway. I'm paying for it anyway, and it was in walking distance, and I had nothing to do on a Sunday afternoon. And I went to go see the movie, and I didn't completely hate it, but, I mean, the reason I didn't completely hate it was that, oh, it's not a good movie. It's a terrible movie. But I was laughing my ass off so much at it that I'm like, okay, I don't hate myself for watching that.
That's interesting.
Because I mean, the everything where they're chasing the school bus and Judd and Judd Hirsch in the invincible boat, and it's just, I mean, it was so fucking stupid. And I hate Roland Emmerich. I especially hate that. While I enjoyed Independence Day, I mean, we didn't really have a lot of movies like that, and it felt like the stakes were really high. Since then, he's made a lot of disaster porn, you know, Day After Tomorrow, 2012, you know, that kind of stuff, where you're supposed to be like, hey, the world's ending, woo! Like, and it just becomes like, watch famous people die, and I thought that's what the movie's going to be. They tried to have a throwback to, like, the Earth versus the Flying Saucers thing that was great, but of course they've got like you know, Roland Emmerich and his crew are mainly work have like about a crew of 20 people, and they're working amongst like three brain cells amongst all of them, and it was like so bad that I think this one guy texted me, says, oh, you're going to see that? Tell me what you think. And I texted him, I said, that was fucking awful. I'm like, it wasn't it? Even we were like laughing about it.
I had fun with the film. But then again, as my son would put it, and as many people would agree here, but Dad, you like Batman versus Superman, so your opinion on any film is invalid.
Your own children.
I'm on your side, Mark. I'm with you.
Yeah, well, thank you.
I like the film too.
No, thank you, Paul. No, I love when we have disagreements on this show. It's awesome. And I do mean that for sure. No, yeah, Insurrection. I had fun with it. I totally
Resurgence. See, none of you can remember the name.
The second ID4 film, I had fun with it. I approached it as a
ID42, also known as ID42.
I approached it as a little more of a cheesy film. Again, you can get more of our in-depth thoughts on the episode of the Spoiler Room earlier this year. So, sorry, Paul, that we missed that.
No, I'm sorry for having to bring it up.
No, it's okay. It sounds like you caused some trauma with Scott, though. Speaking of Scott, I know one of the three films that Scott's going to mention. So, go ahead, Scott. What were your what are three of your worst viewings for this year?
I'm giving you this. Okay, the bottom three. Number in bottom Here third comes. Would be number Here three comes. Would be The Boss.
Uh huh.
If you're waiting for Batman v Superman, it's not in there.
Oh my God! Really?
Yeah, it's not in there. No.
Oh, you disappointed me. Boss.
Oh no! If I had to say the most disappointing film of the year, it's that movie.
Okay.
But
I did.
But there was enough in it that I find interesting that it didn't make my worst list. I will say it's the most disappointing. I will also say that it is perfectly reflective of 2016. it's you know, dark. It's fascist. It's it introduces people that you think that you really like and then kills them off, and you leave the thing feeling confused, angry and kind of hollow. That's totally it's the 2016 the movie. Anyway,
but The Boss, which I've heard horrible things.
The Boss was number three. It was really bad. It was, you know. I'm not the biggest fan of Melissa McCarthy. It's why I wasn't really looking forward to one of the reasons why I wasn't looking forward to Ghostbusters that much is I wasn't really that into. I'm not really that into Melissa McCarthy or Kristen Wiig. I'm not saying they're the worst people in the world. I just don't really like them. Mm-hmm. This was so lazy. This film was the most absolutely lazy. It was schmaltzy while trying to still have like an edge to it. Mm-hmm. You know, there is one decent sequence which is given away in the trailer anyway, so you might as well just watch that. It's a terrible film. I will also say it's kind of interesting that in the movie there is a bra scene like where Kristen Bell is trying to all she has like this is like the kind of like this momish bra, and that scene was repeated a couple months later when Bad Moms came out. Bad Moms is a movie I actually really did like, where Kristen Bell is the one on the other side trying to like help lecture Mila Kunis about her mom bra, and it's played much funnier in Bad Moms, trust me.
Boss, and what else?
Number two would be the Angry Birds movie. You knew someone was going to mention it.
You figured someone was going to bring it up.
Horrible movie. Horrible. If you want to talk about, you know, like, hey, do you hate your fucking kids? Take them to see Spielberg's movie. Like,
can I ask you, Scott, in what world did you think that it would possibly even remotely be good?
Look, I didn't think it was going to be a great movie. I wasn't looking forward to it. But like I said, okay, look, I have a movie theater in walking distance. And I pay... And I pay $30 a month for a card that lets me go see as many movies as I want. I have a night where there's nothing to do and I really want to get out of the house, I'm going to walk a mile up there and see the movie. and that's how I saw The Boss and the Angry Birds movie. And it is so condescending to your kids. It is bright. It is crude. There's a scene where you have to watch some, like, one of the characters urinate for like 2 minutes straight, and that was like the joke. And it's like, it is, there's no plot, there's no talent behind it, it's just crap from beginning to end. It's horrible, and it's an insult to your kids, and I would say it's the worst insult that will ever be unleashed on your kids. But the Emojis movie is coming up in summer 2017. Enjoy that. But the worst film that was not only it was bad from every conceivable level. It's bad filmmaking. It's bad. It's bad from a narrative point of view. It's bad with the stars of it. It's bad in how it looks. Is a film almost nobody has seen. I have not seen it on anybody's worst of list. It has got so few people have seen this that it still doesn't have a Rotten Tomatoes rating, except by the audience, the intended audience of this film, who hates it. It is a film called Natural Born Pranksters.
Oh.
Anybody know about it?
I've seen it on my Netflix thing.
Oh, my God, avoid it. Avoid. Here's the thing. Okay, I might not be, you know, I know it's got some fans in here, like Andrew. I know you're a huge fan. I'm not the biggest fan of, say, like the Jackass crew, Johnny Knoxville, Steve-O, and all them guys. However, they are the greatest thing in the world compared to all the quote-unquote pranksters that have shown up on, like, YouTube over the years. Look at my sick pranks, bro. These guys who just, like, walk around with no shirts on most of the time. They are insulting to every single woman they meet. The humor is always sexist. Some of it is racist. The pranks are very obviously staged. Mm. I mean, it's obviously staged. And in fact, two of the people involved in the movie, it's got three pranksters in it, and two of them, they're all YouTube stars, have been publicly accused of, like, faking everything, like, just within the last year.
Yeah. There you go.
Only an idiot would think any of this is real, and only an idiot would think any of it is funny. I mean, this is the thing where this is actually an insulting film to virtually anybody. It's about if every single men's rights activist and frat boy decided that they could be a movie star, this is the movie that they would make.
Wow.
It's a piece of crap on every conceivable level. Nice. I absolutely hated this movie.
Ooh, wow.
Other than that, fine Christian men.
Wow.
Well, so how do you truly feel about Dead Films?
I want them to have their junk ripped off, and then as they bleed to death, just live long enough to realize what a failure to humanity every single one of them is. Other than that, great.
Wow. Send all your complaints to.
Excellent pick in cases there, Scott. I don't think there needs to be much more to be said about those.
I took my kids to Angry Bird movie.
I liked Angry Birds.
Well, no, she goes to everything, though, man. I mean, she just loves to go to the movies and eat popcorn and just, you know what I'm saying? She likes the whole
experience.
Yeah. And so I have been to, and I don't have to, you know, pay for it or whatever. I have the voucher, so... I've seen a lot of shitty shit. I mean, but I think Minions was worse than Angry Birds.
I haven't seen Minions really yet, so I can't comment on this movie.
That was like, if I could do a whole thing about stuff that because I know I bust on Ice Age or whatever, but Minion was probably the, you know, like how you describe Angry Birds, talking about being like just, you know, loud and empty or whatever. You know, I really do think that some of the people that make those movies for kids, they're just going like, we need to have something yell a blow up or whatever, just like every other second, yes. so that they don't start running around the theater or get whatever. And I'm like, you know, man, some kids actually want to, you know, even, you know, some of them, they, yeah, I don't know what you get. What you have to remember with cartoons is grown-ups are making them.
Yeah,
right.
That's all you got to remember.
And right. I would agree with. I would agree with that. I mean, that I think that is the approach that a lot of people take. And you know, if it's done well, you can do it well. But I mean, I think the films this year, like Moana, Zootopia, you know, Kubo, so many others that I could mention. There's so many amazing animated films that are being made now. I think the proof has been made that, you know, you don't need to do that. You only need to do that if you are really underestimating your audience.
Right.
But you know what? Everybody's really selling kids short.
Everybody started to laugh at. There's this teaser for Cars that makes it look like Saving Private Ryan or some shit. And everybody started laughing like, oh, here we go. Man, I still think Pixar once every year, every other year, they just need to make like a drama or like a Holocaust movie or something to get that shit out of their system so they don't put it in their kid movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I can agree they need to get something out of their system.
Yeah, they just, them motherfuckers just, they are trying. Yeah. I don't know what they're, I don't know. But no, I did take my kid at Angry Bird. I don't remember shit. But you know, the good ones were good. This year had more good kid movies than usual. But
there were more good animated films than bad this year. So
yeah, but there were the bad ones, man.
Yeah, I didn't go. I had no interest in seeing Angry Birds, so I was curious, but I didn't actually go. Even with Movie Pass, I was like, yeah, I got some stuff at home to watch.
But when people go, do they just take kids to anything? Yes, we do. For the most part, the only thing we were like, fuck no, was that Nine Lives about the cat, Kevin Spacey.
I saw that.
So I'm like, man, I think D-Facts would come get me and shit.
That was bad.
So, Paul, real quick, you liked Angry Birds?
I did, but I just wanted to point out though that if this movie would have been deep and meaningful and had all these like edgy thoughts and stuff like that, everyone would have accused the filmmakers of not following the source material. Because if you think about it, the source material isn't deep and thought-provoking. It's slingshotting a geometric shape at a bunch of geometric shapes and watching it fall down.
So yeah.
Paul's based on expectations. Paul, it sounded like his expectation wasn't that high.
Yeah, it was
okay. Not very high. Okay. I can understand that, but what about the Lego movie?
I didn't watch the Lego movie.
See, Lego movie, I mean,
oh,
like,
oh, you should.
I know.
Lego's the
that
shit.
Is like, it's like, okay, it's going to be bright, and but I mean, let's be honest, what's it based off of? It's based off blocks. It's not even based off a
colorful
Lego property. You know? It's based off blocks. Yeah. That movie was really good.
Yeah. You know what we thought were going to be stupid that wasn't was Trolls and Sing. Those were pretty
Sing.
Good.
Trolls.
I still haven't seen that. I still haven't seen those. I would like to see them.
Sing has a riot girl in it, man.
Then I definitely need to see it.
That really shocked me was The Secret Life of Pets.
That was
I thought that was going to be awful, and it turned out I really liked it.
I heard that was good. Yeah.
Yeah, I still have to see that one, but I'll agree with Paul. I mean, with Andrew on Sing. Sorry, I'll agree with Andrew on Sing. I liked it a lot. It's a great little love letter to musicals. If you ever watched musicals, it has that formula. McConaughey's character in it. As the koala running the theater was just classic. Always looking at
movie plot. That's what it is. It's a Muppet movie plot.
It is. It is. It is completely a Muppet movie plot. And I'm not sure what people were expecting, but I dug it. So yeah, I'll agree. Sing, but yeah, I avoided Angry Birds. So I know we're getting late here. We'll just run through three of my worst. I've seen quite a few, but and yes, there are films that I don't care for. I know it's shocking, but it does happen. And three of them, Derek already kind of alluded to Blair Witch, I will say, but for me, even more so than that, was Sausage Party, was The Darkness, and the last one, Incarnate. That I just recently saw. Two horror films and the animated film. Sausage Party, I'm sorry, folks. I know I'm old. and it may sound crotchety, but that film from start to finish, outside of the little segment that they had in there about the little hot dog that was trying to get back to the grocery store, except for that little bit, the rest of that film, I was bored. I did not laugh. I like I said, I chuckled maybe twice. It just was, I didn't see the appeal. Everybody was talking about edgy and this, and I'm like, if this was human people versus animated people talking the same way, people would have shit fit, and people still did, but I don't know. It was one of those films where it made me mad. Is what it did.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It's on my bottom 10.
It's one of those films where I watch, it just made me mad because I'm like, oh, and then in there, they're trying to throw this kind of idea of faith in there mixed in with all the, I'm going to stick my sausage in your bun jokes for the first 15 fucking minutes of the film.
Which means what exactly?
Yeah.
I don't get it. I'll draw you a picture later, Andrew.
You just nailed it. I mean, the humor is so obvious, and it's basically a one joke movie. We're gonna make jokes that the grocery store items are what they are representing, and so everything is a stereotype of the ethnicity of the food to the sexuality of the food to everything. And that's every single joke. And then, oh, wait, we need to have a plot. So let's just kind of throw in kind of this atheist screed into the middle of the movie as the plot. And so people start, I don't know. It seemed like that's what people were really celebrating, that it was had the balls to go there. I'm like, this movie didn't say anything I can't see in some like group on Facebook. Yeah. You know? And let me tell you right now, that is not a high water mark for shit.
So how close is it to the type of movies that guy watches in Idiocracy?
Take the atheist thing out, and it is the movie.
Yeah, just about.
You know, to take anything, like, because I mean, I think they would react poorly to anything that was even trying to make them think. So,
when
they talk about fart, the what was it? Ask the movie.
Yeah.
Like won like 12 Oscars, including Best Screenplay. Yeah. That's pretty much Sausage Party.
Yeah,
like, ask the animated movie.
It was just one of those films I just could not. Usually, I can see the perspective from others, and I'm glad there's people that enjoyed it. But for me, I went into there and just going, "Man, this film is exactly what I thought it was going to be." Unfortunately, and it just, you know, it was just one of those things where I tried to find it and I couldn't. I just found myself getting angry at the movie, and then The Darkness. I don't know if anyone else here saw it. Horror movie with Kevin Bacon got wide release. One of the bad horror films that came out in wide release this year. And that movie made me angry because of the way they treated autism and the way it was portrayed and handled in that movie was so poorly done. It was like someone read some Facebook article about autism and decided that's what they were going to model this young boy who was supposed to be on the spectrum. That's how they were going to handle it. And I was just like, oh, that really hit me hard because I was like, they did everything wrong with it. And it wasn't even an interesting story.
Yeah. You know? That's what I was worried about. I didn't see the movie. That's what I was worried about when I saw the trailer for that, you know, that they were just going to use it as a gimmick to exploit people's fears about children with autism. It's the way I feel about a movie that's going to be coming up in January. I guess M. Night Shyamalan, because he did something Split. Similar with his last movie. So he did something similar with The Visit. Now he's going to do it with Split. I guess he just exploits people's fears about like mental disorders.
Yeah.
And that, like, just looking from the trailer, just how it's treating multiple personalities, dissociative identity disorders. I'm like, oh.
Well,
even a cheap little horror film like that released on such a scale, do you know how bad that can be for people that are actually going through that? How bad that's going to be to actually for their perception in the world. Well, it really pisses me off.
Well, the only thing I have with that argument is that mental illness has been a common theme in horror films in the past as well. So I don't think that's just an M. Night thing. That's always been there, though.
Yeah, but this one really seems to be going for it. I mean,
it does, but I mean, we've seen it before in anything, all the way back to Hitchcock. You know, I mean, the split personality thing in that, you know, mental illness has always been kind of used as an element in horror films. So, you know, for that, I don't think M. Night has the sole ownership on that. I would debate on, but. And finally, Incarnate, Waste of Aaron Eckhart. Think of a possession film where the possessed person doesn't do shit, sits there and looks evil. I mean, and literally, that's what most of the, I mean, there's stuff in there. I liked the concept. Don't get me wrong. I did like the concept, and I thought Aaron Eckhart made for an interesting film, but this felt like a pilot for a TV show. Oh.
Wasn't that the kid from Room? That's the little boy?
Yeah.
Oh,
but
no.
All he does is, for the most part, is sit in the middle of the room and look evil. He doesn't even do much. And then when they go into the dream sequence, because the whole concept is this guy takes care of possessions, not through a religious way, but through science. He goes in and appears that a demonic possession is more of a physical parasite that takes over the brain. And so he goes into this like dream world, similar to like Nightmare on Elm Street. And he goes into their subconscious and tries to rescue these people. And it was an interesting concept. I'm like, oh, that's great. And they present that. I'm like, okay, this is cool. And then we get through the movie and I'm like, what the hell? Like, such a waste of potential. I guess that's what frustrated me with the film was there was so much there that they could have done. And they did very little, and it was a mess. It really was. But
yeah, that was one of those movies, man, that they had finished a long time ago, and just it was sitting there. And the weekend it came out, there was no press information. There was no EPK. There was no stills. You know what I'm saying? There was nothing. It was just memes that they did on Twitter for it. That was it.
Yeah.
Even though they can't get even though the studios have been really good about cracking down on film piracy, which they should, that film came the DVD quality torrent came out within 2 weeks of that film's released.
Yeah,
well, I've seen it around. I don't have it. I haven't watched it. I've just seen it around, and yeah. I'm like, oh, look at that. Yep, look at the screenshots of that. Yep, that's perfect.
I mean, it was, so that was the most frustrating part was the fact you saw the potential there of something making a really interesting, different spin on the whole possession genre, because it's been done a lot and they just wasted it. They got lazy with it. It was just a mess.
I feel like the director had made something else that was actually okay.
I did a
trailer talk on that one, and I can't remember what
that was. I'll look it up real quick. I've got nothing open.
The director
is Brad
San Andreas.
Oh, holy shit! No wonder I didn't see it.
Oh, Brad Peyton.
Yeah, he did Peyton San Andreas, Journey to the Mysterious Island, Cats and Dogs 2.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
Oh my god.
See,
from the director of Cats and Dogs 2, the scariest shit you've ever seen.
Holy cow. Holy cow. Yeah, there's no way in hell now.
So, yeah, that's mine. Like I said, I've seen other two that we mentioned, Blair Witch, which, you know, there was no expectation from the start, and it was just that was just bad. I think we'll wrap it up here. It has gotten late. One thing we can say about 2016, there are a number of films I haven't seen yet, but I will say we have seen more. I think in recent years, this is one of the more diverse years I've seen as far as films out there, along with Swiss Army Man. And, you know, we've already mentioned La La Man and Land and Moonlight and Arrival. There's actually looks like some filmmakers now and even some studios are at least taking chances on some films, whether or not they're hit or miss. And that's refreshing to see. I think Derek alluded to it or mentioned it that he was actually interested this year in films. And I think I feel that way, too. 2016 really woke me up and made me feel like they're, you know, people get angry when you say there's no originality in Hollywood. Well, that's the way it feels like with wide release films. But this year, I really felt like there was originality out there, whether it was hit or miss with me. And it's good to see. It's refreshing to see, and it makes me look forward to the coming years, you know. So we'll wrap up real quick, and just want your final quick thought on the films you've seen this year, and are you looking forward to 2017 films? And we'll start with Scott. We'll start with you for once, sir. We'll start with you. Final thought and, you know, your outlook on the future, plus where they can find you at.
So. I will say that, you know, the films, I know I'm going to probably be in disagreement with a lot of the people here. You guys, we just got done talking about The Kid from Room. I was noticing yesterday before I had seen La La Land that even though the films that I had brought up are excellent, I highly recommend anybody check them out. I said, you know what? Not even my top film from 2016 would probably be ranked fifth if I was ranking it amongst the 2015 films.
Mm-hmm.
And I still kind of leaning that way, honestly, you know, because number four from 2015 was Room. That's the connection there.
Right.
It's rough. It was rough. I think there was a lot of films that were very downbeat, very much of a bummer, which kind of mirrored the experiences of a lot of people this year, not to kind of all fall into that cliche, but, you know, kind of we needed something different. Having said that, I'm sure that's kind of an overread. I'm sure I'll kind of look back on those comments like 6 months from now and say, get over yourself, you know? And what am I looking forward to in 2017? Am I really looking forward to 2017? The outlook for the world in general, not much. The films, yes. And personal experience, if all goes according to plan, definitely.
Awesome. And where can they find you at?
You can catch me at moviocrity.com, and you can also catch my web series Moviocrity on YouTube, but all the episodes are available on Vimeo, so that's mm-hmm. vimeo.com/channels/moviocrity. And I hope to be doing more with both in 2017. So, see, that's something for you guys to look forward to in 2017.
There you go. Definitely something to look forward to. Thank you, Scott. Paul, how about you? Just quick thoughts with the 2016 films, what you're looking forward to 2017, and where they can find you at.
2016, I really focused on a lot of independent horror films because of a film festival that I was working on. And so I enjoyed... I think 2016 was my favorite year in horror movies. It really recharged my batteries on what horror could be. And it's fantastic to see all the different variations of how horror could be presented. You know, you get used to a certain way of horror being a certain way. And then to have all these independent people doing all these different movies. Yeah, they didn't all just come out that year. You know, some of them came out years before. But it was just a really refreshing thing, and that's how I'm going to remember 2016. As for 2017, I am looking forward to movies like Alien Covenant, Wonder Woman, John Wick 2. So those type of films I'm really anxious to watch, and I think 2017 has a great deal of potential. I mentioned that a lot of the science fiction is bringing a lot of the science back. I hope they continue that trend, mm-hmm. because I did enjoy those type of films.
And where can they find you at?
They can find you guys can find me at Forsaken Film Reviews, and also now you can find me at Film Jerks 2.0.
Nice. And it's on the Astro Radio Z podcast network.
Definitely.
Mr. Gonzorific, how about you? Final thought with 2016, looking forward to 2017, and where can they find you at?
Yeah, man, I enjoy myself in 2016. I saw a lot of great movies, man. And if you didn't, then you just don't know where to find them. And for as far as 2017, I am flipping out waiting to see Hidden Figures. That's supposed to be a 2016 movie, but it hadn't opened here yet. I cannot wait to see Hidden Figures. Also looking forward to the stuff Paul mentioned, Wonder Woman, Alien Covenant, Episode 8. But probably mostly My Little Pony the movie, to be quite honest. You can find me at... I'm just playing. I don't know what
you're saying. You had my hopes up, man.
There really... I didn't even know there was one coming out.
If you, made no, by the yeah, people know, that gave you Angry Birds.
Yeah, no, I'm Untitled Horror Movie from Paramount is the one I'm looking for. Okay, so you can find me and my friends make weird movies, and we have them on Amazon on demand. If you are so inclined, drop a couple bucks on Pajama Nightmare, the Underground Cinema, Cinema with an S, Mondo Gonzo, or our latest one, Late Night Cable. If you like John Waters, Russ Meyer, that type of stuff, we just have a lot of voluptuous people and monsters and camels and chainsaw and, you know, just mostly butt and boobs related humor. Thank you. Good night.
And if Mr. Derek Carey's still with us, let's see. Derek, what are your thoughts with 2016 real quick and looking forward to 2017? And then where can they find you at?
2016 was awesome for movies. 2017, all you got to do is keep it up, I guess. I don't know. I don't really have much to say. I think I saw a lot of really great stuff. It renewed my energy for going to the movie theater again. And I'm sorry if I sound like I'm talking out of my nose. I all of a sudden got a cold today, and it's kicking my ass right now. So that's all I'm going to say about 2016. Killed me for underground horror, reinvigorated me for big screen stuff at the multiplex. So other than that, you can catch me at Astro Radio Z. It's a podcast about cult films and other such nonsense. On that podcast feed, you can get, as Paul had said, you can get Film Jerks, his podcast, and Stillborn Goat 666 Heavy Metal Podcast, run by my good friend Corey J. Udler. It's a heavy metal show. He interviews underground heavy metal acts and stuff like that. All fun stuff. You can catch all of that stuff at astroradioz.com. Or you could go to Amazon Prime and go give our anthology movie Hole in the Wall some views if you like weirdo stuff.
Awesome. And links for all these folks are at specialmarkproductions.com, where you can find all the episodes of The Spoiler Room. Hope you've enjoyed this year of episodes. We do have a special planned. I already have the first episode of 2017 planned and a whole lot more. My feelings for this year, yes, 2016, I think, did invigorate me as well for those films that come out for wide release, as well as a little more focus on indie stuff. There's a lot of stuff to watch out there. For all tastes. So in 2016, though, really we got to see some interesting films finally hit some actually mainstream screens. So that's always good to see. And 2017, yeah, looking forward to a bunch of stuff there, as people already mentioned. So, and there's also supposed to be a new Death Race film coming out. Not sure.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, dude. Bad,
it's in January.
Yep, there's a new Death Race film coming out. So, you know, everybody else is kind of looking forward to this big film or that. And I'm like, you know, that film kind of looks interesting. So, yeah, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate all our listeners, and we keep getting new ones all the time. Please subscribe to us on iTunes and comment and rate us. It always does help. We're also on the Stitcher Smart Radio. Or, as I mentioned, you can find all the episodes on specialmarkproductions.com. As we say goodnight to 2016, yes, folks, we're looking forward to 2017. Hope you all have a pleasant and safe new year. And say goodnight, gentlemen.
Good night, gentlemen.
Good night, gentlemen.
Oh, man, I broke a nail. Fuck 2016.